Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to you, wherever you are, Grenada, Caracou, Piedmont, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you once again. Believe it or not, we have for the first time a minister with us, and he is the Honorable Oliver Joseph, who is the Minister of Economics, Development, Planning, Trade, and Cooperatives. He is in Side Finance today, and I have some questions here for him, and I'm very sure he's ready to go with us. We take a break, a word from our sponsors, we come right back, and we'll be talking with Minister, the Honorable Oliver Joseph, Minister of Economic Development, Planning, Trade, and Cooperatives.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Pleasant good day to you, Minister.
Good day to you.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Doing fine. It's good. You're looking well. It looks like you have lost some weight. I wonder if you're exercising all the pressure in the ministry.
Both.
I could only doubt. But think about it. I want to welcome you to the program. You were a retired prominent secretary and turned politician. Now, how have you found the transition to your new place of work?
Very challenging. I worked for 30 years in the public service, three of which were spent as a regional public servant based in Barbados, working with CARICOM, so locally and the regional experience. As a public servant, you carry out government policy. To make the transition to a politician, where you're in the role of making policies. But I think I bring to the table the wealth of experience that I gain from implementing policies. I have a good understanding of how the public service operate. In terms of dealing on the political side, that was more challenging because I was never involved in politics before, because as a civil servant, I was never involved directly. And you will recall, my entry was very swift. 1 month when I was announced as a candidate, 1 month after was the election. So I had only 1 month to prepare myself, in other words, for this political role. Dealing with the constituency is a real challenge because of the society that we live in, very close-knitted, and everybody know you. And they come directly to you first for any assistance. And I think that part is my biggest challenge, having to cope with these demands that have been made.
Everything they come, go and talk to the minister.
Yes, everything. The minister is the first port of call would be the minister.
And then you live in the community.
You live in the community. So everything is public, yo. Your house become public. Your transportation is public. You're real. That is what it meant by really a public, serving the public. And I think... And then the perception that, you know, comes once you enter politics, regardless of who you are, once you go there, people see you differently.
Right.
As they paint all politicians with one brush.
Right. So everybody becomes the same.
Yes, everybody becomes the same for them. And I'm really learning. It's a learning process for me on the political side. The ministry that I'm assigned to the portfolio, because I worked in that ministry before, I understand all the technical issues and therefore able to deal with it readily. But and the constituency and the real politics is the one that I have to come to terms with. Yeah.
Well, I must say you have been trying and doing your best. The IMF completed its first review of Grenada's homegrown program. How do you feel about the first review that they have done not too long ago. The report was good, but how do you feel about it as one of the persons being deeply involved in making it happen?
Well, I feel real gratified, and I think that we have been vindicated. The fact that we took the bold decision to develop a structural adjustment program and seek support from the IMF is amazing. We decided that based on the position, the fiscal situation in the country, we had to move. As you will recall, when we enter, the previous government was selling assets to pay salary. That is how low we went. Because if you had to sell asset to meet recurrent expenditure, you couldn't go lower than that. So, of course, we had to correct the situation. We have decided with a high debt and a recurrent deficit facing the country, we had to take the measures. And so we developed the measures, sought the support of the fund. They have agreed with us. We signed on to a letter of intent explaining what we will do in order to correct the situation. At the end of the six-month period, the IMF came down, sent down a team of highly qualified persons to examine what we have done for the 6 months and if we met the targets. And we were so pleased with the report that I just want to quote one sentence from the report. So this is the head of mission speaking. He says, Grenada has made a strong start in implementing its program. The fiscal consolidation is on track, and all quantitative performance criteria for end of June were met. All quantitative performance. That is public. You can go on anyone can go on the IMF website and read it. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's there for all to see. This is the head of mission that is praising Grenada for meeting all the targets. And so the next tranche of money will automatically come when it go to the board with that kind of report. Mm-hmm. We will get the next tranche.
So you're saying the steps that government took have been very clear, yet still it have accomplished what government set out to do.
Right. It has accomplished what we said we will do. So, for example, you could see on the fiscal side, the deficit, the monthly deficit. It simply means that the amount of money you're collecting is not enough to meet the expenditure. So you're always in deficit. And that was $18 million when we started the program. And right now it's down to $10 million. So we are closing the gap between what government is spending and what it's collecting. And we have set certain targets to meet. And we said within the first 6 months we will do these things. And the IMF came down, review it, and said, yes, they are satisfied that the government did meet all these targets. And they are on track with the program. And if we continue so, that we will achieve what we set out to under this three-year structural adjustment program.
Keeping in line with your structural adjustment program that you started, in recent cabinet post-briefing, you inform the nation that cabinet has decided that Grenada should have a 15-year development plan. Tell us about this plan, because it seems to be in keeping with what government is trying to do with the homegrown. Talk to us about that.
Right. Well, that's a plan that is long overdue. What we are seeing as a government, the previous government came, then we took over, but we need to have a plan for Grenada, not a plan for NNP or a plan for NDC or whatever. Have a plan, a long-term plan, that shows clearly, map out clearly, the direction in which Grenada wants to go. What do we want to see Grenada like in 15 years' time? Yes. So whether we're there or not is irrelevant. If we have a clearly defined plan that says in 15 years' time, you want to bring unemployment to under 5%, well, any government that comes in will want to work towards that. Right. You want to move unemployment from where it is in the 30s to say you want it down. And then you say in this plan, we'll say, how do you achieve these things? The sectors that you need to invest in. Because remember, Grenada cannot compete in every sector. We have to decide on the areas once and for all, clearly set out, so that we put all our resources in this area. They said, if it's ICT, let us, don't announce that ICT, what it is that we're going to do. So if you say ICT is for development, then all the incentives must come to the ICT. You must have a structure in place that will attract people to ICT if that's the way you want to go. If you say that you think that the services sector is where you need to grow and develop, then you must have a training plan to support that. So we are saying this 15-year plan will address all these things. all the different sectors, what needs to be done. So what will happen? I've been charged with the responsibility. So a group of experts will be brought together very shortly. I'll bring a team together, and this team will produce a draft for consultation with all stakeholders throughout the country. So it will not be a plan just developed by economists or social scientists and so on. But they will do the first draft and say, that's the area. And we will take this draft now to the people and say, let's get the input of all stakeholders, the wider population.
In the area of trade, what is government doing to increase government export?
Our trade policy was recently reviewed by the WTO, and they are satisfied that we are in compliance with the trade rules. The focus of our trade policy is export-led growth. We need to export more. In order to export more, we need to increase local production. And therefore, there is a clear plan to increase production, not only in the traditional crop. As you know, nutmeg is doing good, spices. Cocoa, we will have to produce more cocoa with the coming on stream of the new chocolate factory. And for the non-traditional crops, we have seen increase in the demand for such crop, to the extent that during the 6 months of this year, January to June, Marketing Board exported 50% more than they exported last year at the same period of time. So we are seeing increase in export. Of course, you know, we have a huge trade deficit. We import a lot more than we export. And as a net importing country, that will happen. But we need to make sure that what could be produced locally is produced locally. And that will help the input, paying for the input bill, reducing it. So we need to look at that in terms of increasing local production, food security, if able to feed our nation. We have sandals that has recently come on stream. They're making big demands for our local product. They want our product because it's fresh. They want tomato, lettuce, cucumbers, and so on. And they are making this request through the Marketing Board. And Marketing Board, on the other hand, contracting farmers so that farmers can supply them with these products to sell. So there is a big demand. Take a simple thing as green banana. It might surprise you to know that we are not producing enough. No, we're not producing enough. Marketing Board want all the green banana to ripe. And they also have a contract entered into an agreement with a supermarket chain in Trinidad, and they cannot supply them. No, they want ripe bananas to supply. St. Vincent is supplying. They want from Grenada to for the Trinidad market, but we cannot get. The simple reason that farmers, they are private farmers, and so if producing tomato and lettuce gives you more money, you wouldn't plant banana. You see, simple as that, because you're private lands,
right?
So in order for Marketing Board to get the bananas that they currently have to ripe, they have to give farmers contract at a guarantee price. That we will pay you, say, $1 a pound if you produce for us. That's only how they're getting it.
Okay.
Otherwise, they wouldn't get it.
So with that, you talk even with the cocoa, you are saying now that there may be a shortage coming because with the chocolate factory?
Yes. Because remember, when Hurricane Ivan destroyed the farms, not many farmers went back into cocoa. Right, and now you have a new chocolate factory on stream. The demand for cocoa is higher, and we don't have the volume, so we need to get back into production of cocoa as a traditional crop and a lot of non-traditional crop. So, soursop, let me just remind our listeners that Grenada is the only country in the Western Hemisphere could send fresh soursop to the United States. And as a result, there is huge demand from importers in the United States for Grenada soursop. And you know, soursop was never treated as any premium crop.
It never did, so I went and buy 400 trees myself, and I'm planting.
Yes, because we have the market there ready for it, and the price is very good. So Marketing Board is paying good prices for the soursop to export. Even a Trinidad company wants to purchase soursop for processing in Trinidad. So there is a huge demand for product like soursop. Marketing Board have also seen increase in demand for yams and dashin and mangoes and so on. So really, there is no shortage of market. Well, the problem is on the supply side.
Right.
We need to supply.
So are we saying now that marketing board now, government have a push towards giving marketing board more leeway and authority to be able to do a lot of its work that need to be done to increase the export?
Yes, marketing board has recently launched the strategic plan. And in that document, you will see the focus where they have given, the cabinet has given clear directive. As a minister responsible for marketing board know exactly government policy. We want to see an increase in export. First of all, we like to see farmers earning more money for the crop. We would like to see the production plan so that we can supply the local market and export. So the Ministry of Agriculture work very closely with the marketing board so that the extension officers talking to farmers can assist them in producing the goods that marketing board will purchase to for export. And this collaboration has shown great results over the last 6 months.
So you are saying to Grenadians who have land, it's a great opportunity to go and talk with marketing board and see how best you can work together to develop those land.
Yes, of course. We need people to produce more. We have the lands. You will recall that there was an attempt to tax idle land, what we describe as
right.
idle land. Not because we want revenue from it. We want increased production from it. We want people to work the land. So he's saying you must work the land, you must produce more. Right. We have the labor force necessary. Mm. We have the market. So you need to work the land and supply marketing board or other exporters so that we can see an increase in export and we can see us feeding ourselves locally.
Let me just remind our listeners, I'm speaking to the Honorable Oliver Joseph, who's the Minister of Community Development, Planning, Trade and Cooperatives. And we're talking Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. Take a word from our sponsors. We come back and I continue my discussion with him. And I want to know about a Citizen by Investment program. I know a lot of you want to know about that. Well, Honorable Minister would be speaking to us about that.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acrobrop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acrobrop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. I'm Pastor Stanford Simon. I'm speaking to the Honorable Oliver Joseph. Minister, many persons want to ask. I heard many persons ask about it. Government launched a Citizen by Investment program a year ago. What is the status of the program? Because persons were feeling that there are people who are getting it because of friendships and relationships and it has not spread. Or somehow you talk about investors, but there seems to be problems with it.
No, we announced the Economic Citizenship by Investment program as a strategy, economic strategy to attract investors. We passed the legislation, a committee has been established and in place, CBI committee, to receive application. We have issued 2 marketing licenses for agents to market the program. We have about five local agents that work bringing in application from these marketing agents. So the whole process is in place. It is working smoothly. What we are ensuring this time around, you can recall this program was once operational. We are placing a lot of emphasis on due diligence. We want to ensure that the investors that we get are clean, are bona fide investors. And so 3 levels of due diligence are carried out to ensure that we get good people. And from the application so far that we have received, all the due diligence was satisfactory. We satisfied it with the people. And so far, we have had about 7 people approved under the program. We have 2 categories. One is called a National Transformation Fund. Section 10 of the Act says if you contribute $200,000 to the National Transformation Fund, you qualify for permanent residence, and within 1 year you can apply for citizenship. Section 11 says if you make a contribution of minimum $250,000 US in an approved project, you can apply for citizenship. So far, we have had people in both categories, the National Transformation Fund and approved project investment. And therefore, the program is running smoothly, but we are ensuring that this time around, every applicant go through a thorough and rigid process to ensure that we get the best.
So do you have any person helping you check? Because I guess we can't do all the checking for ourselves, but does government have people who do the checks for them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We are not doing the checks. We are the Financial Intelligence Unit in our locally. Right. But we have hired an international reputable firm, Thomson Reuters. They are the ones that have been used by the U.S., Canada, and they are the ones that we are using. So when they do the check and send the report, all the countries know that we have a reputable firm checking. And that is why we hired this company to do the checks. So, in fact, they are so thorough that I recall one applicant that lived in more than 3 countries. And we had some delay because they said they must check every country that person live, even if they live there for more than 3 months. They were checking.
Wow.
They were checking.
They're thorough.
They're thorough, very thorough.
Very thorough.
So we are satisfied.
Okay.
And the U.S. have said that to us, that they are satisfied with the checks that we are putting in place.
Right.
With the people that are coming, with the applicants that are coming.
Right.
Yeah, because that was the concern. When the program started, I remember they raising this concern with us, please ensure that you do thorough due diligence check on the people that are coming, because you know the situation in the Middle East and people may try.
Right, to use.
Yes, to use, okay. Yes. The thing. So we are very thorough with that, and we will see an increase in the number of application because people want, like Grenada, they think Grenada is a good place to invest in, and if they have a choice with the program, because you know St. Kitts have it, Antigua,
right.
St. Kitts, and so they could choose Dominica.
They have choices.
They have choices, yes.
Okay.
They have choices. But we are seeing great interest in Grenada.
In Grenada.
And we are satisfied with the way the program is running at the moment.
Okay. Minister, there are some people who are critical of government for not bringing more investors to Grenada, as was promised in the election campaign. How do you respond to that? Because the investors is coming, they're already on their way, they line up to come. What happened to those investors?
Well, they have come. So you haven't seen anything on the ground, and I'll explain that to you. In my capacity as a Minister of Economic Development, on a weekly basis, I see investors. I've said to them, the government of Grenada will not provide any guarantee for your financing. So that we're very clear on that. That's a clear government policy. So that automatically eliminates about half of those that I saw, because they were coming in the hope that government will provide guarantee. Then you have the others who have the financing plan but are waiting on approval. Look at the Clark's Code Bay Marina. You see work going on there?
Yes.
Well, this approach was made since last year, but he had to get his financing in place, had to get planning permission, have every environmental impact assessment done before there is a start. So now you are seeing a $30 million US investor starting. And the one in the Rivera Hotel, that they are now seeking planning permission to start. So these things, even we announce that investors are showing interest, yes, but we have to make sure that we get bona fide investors, that they have the financing to come to Grenada, and that everything is in place. So from now on, you will see a steady investors. You will actually see construction on the ground, like the Clasco Bay Marina, which is the $30 million US, they think. So I've heard the criticism that we said a lot of investors are lined up to come, and 1 year pass, and and not seen all these investors. So I'm saying that to you, that Grenada is a very attractive place for investors, and we are getting a lot of requests, from investors, and I am confident that over the next 4 years, we will see building on the ground.
So you're actually saying that some of them are already here?
Yes, some of them are already here.
Okay. Now, this is an important one to me and to many persons, especially the church. Concerning the casino, the government has passed a law. Personally, I'm against it. My church is. We feel that that's not something that government should do, but government went ahead and made the decision. Now, explain to us this decision that government have made to put forward a casino law in Grenada. Talk to us about that.
Yes. The casino is meant to enhance the tourism product. Mm-hmm. The tourists will say to you that when they come to Grenada, after 70 in night, there is nothing to do. So that is something that's been used in almost every tourist destination to attract tourism. And so we said we will keep it only for tourists, and therefore in the law it is very clear that Grenadians cannot go into the casino and take part in the activities in the casino. We have made that clear. We also said that in order for an investor to get a license for a casino, this investor must build a hotel with 300 bedrooms and over. So currently, none of the hotels in Grenada have 300 bedroom. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at new investors coming to build all the existing ones if they want a license expanding. But you must have 300 bedrooms. So it's a substantial investment we're talking about that will create jobs for the people. That people can come in a safe and controlled environment because the casino is highly regulated. If I try to go in the casino, I'll be asked for produce my identification to go into it. And we are following the model that is used in the Bahamas and St. Kitts, where the locals cannot go into it. And so, because we are concerned, we heard the concern of the churches in terms of the social ills and so on, we have decided to restrict the casino to only tourists. Now, if the church, as you said, oppose it, they must oppose it in its totality. I don't see all the church supporting lotto, bingo, playway, wappy, that leading to death and everything like that. Talk to the members about these things. Also, address it in a holistic way. But to say that you're against the casino, which is more regulated, better control, and everything like that, and turn a blind eye to the proceeds or to gambling, otherwise, and even in some instances benefit from the proceeds of lotto, because I don't know what is your church position if lotto offer to support a project from your church if you go accept the money, but the money come from gambling. You
right.
Can see it in a broad sense.
Well, I agree with you. It is an issue. For me personally, across the board, none of them. I support not my church support none of them.
Right.
Gambling across the board, we think is wrong, so it's wrong in whatever form. But I guess government has taken its position. But I'm very clear on it. I cannot and I will not support the government on it, but the government has taken a position that you said,
yes.
400 and above.
300 bedroom,
300
and
above.
And no Grenadian plane. So it's a tourism product.
Product.
That we see it as, and to attract a major investment in the hotel sector that will increase the room stock, provide jobs, and be in a safe environment.
Okay. Now, the question quickly, almost out of time. Fueled. Government, I know there have been a complaint about persons getting $500, yet still are going at the fire station and persons taking pictures of ministers taking fuel there. Talk to us about this, because it is becoming an issue and a concern for our persons.
Well, when we came in, there was an allowance of $500 for gas that were given to ministers. July last year, so that's over a year now, Cabinet took the decision to discontinue the $500, and that could be verified easily. So instead, you are allowed to go to the fire station, so the government will pay for the gas, and we will go to the fire station and fill up there. And that is what has been happening. So it is not correct to say that ministers are getting the $500 and still getting the gas. So I think people need to be honest and straightforward. If you have any evidence where a minister is getting the 500, I would like you to publish it and see as proof.
So that is across the board for all the ministers?
Across the board.
Whether
for
the minister live at Sotheby's or St. George's?
Wherever he lives.
Once they need fuel.
They need fuel. they will go to the fire station and full up.
So there is no quota?
Well, no, there is not a quota because given the work that ministers have to do, when you see, you don't just have a ministerial responsibility, your constituency. Mm-hmm. You always am calling your constituency. You have to be visiting 27 days a week. There are various activities which you attend all the time. This work is not a very easy work, you know. It's the responsibility of an elected representative. It's something, in fact, I'd like to see addressed. How do you compensate parliamentary representative who have to represent a constituency, have a ministerial portfolio, have to go to parliament, sit in cabinet? And when you look at what ministers have to do and what the compensation they get. I mean, I just ended a contract with CAR, a regional organization, the CARICOM organization, based in Barbados. And I was getting $5,000 a month tax-free.
Right.
And I come in Grenada again, 5,000 something EC.
As a minister?
As a minister, yes.
5,000?
5,600.
As a minister?
Yes. As a minister.
Right.
Minister.
No.
Nobody talking about that.
So ministers are not really paid?
No. And when the ministers said they will take the 6% increase, like all other civil servants, there was a big outcry. Why ministers want the increase in salary?
But 5,
you know, the permanent secretary gets more money than the minister.
The permanent secretary?
Yeah, I was a permanent secretary. So I was getting more money.
Working as a permanent secretary?
Yes.
Than working as
a minister. Don't tell me how that could be fair.
But that's not right.
No, it can't be right. But nobody talking about that.
No.
The perception is that ministers making money.
I thought my ministers used to work for $15,000 and $20,000 a month.
That would be adequate.
Wow.
Yes. Imagine in my case, you know. I move from a permanent secretary to a minister sitting making policy.
Right.
And I'm getting less money, far less.
Than
what I was getting.
No, that's not fair.
There are bigger issues that we need to address.
Right, I think. And at the end of one of my programs, I will address that issue. And hopefully
address this issue that
we could talk about that. Finally, I want to ask, I have to go, how you feel about Grenada in all of this?
No, I'm very confident when I see the program that we have implemented, how in 18 months what we have been able to achieve, and the report at the IMF is very encouraging. Mm-hmm. I think Grenada has a great future. The people have placed the confidence in this government, and we will not let down the people. They can count on us because we are there to serve the people. We will take the decisions that are necessary to bring Grenada forward. And I'm very confident with the future. I'm very optimistic about the future of Grenada.
Oh boy, you have been listening there to the Honorable Oliver Joseph, Minister of Economics, Development, Planning, Trade and Cooperative. This has been a program of Inside Finance. I'm Stanford Simons. We enjoy talk with him. But ministers gain $5,500 a month. I can't believe it. I thought ministers work for $20,000 and $25,000 a month. I mean, come on, but I'll talk about the program for it. We have to look out for our ministers as much as they will look out for us. But I'm thankful that he sat here today and talked with me. Thank you, Minister, so much for being with me here today.
Thank you very much.
All right, and if you want to send an email, you can send it with a question that you would like me to ask the minister or the permanent secretary. Send it to financegrenada@gmail.com, financegrenada@gmail.com, or stanfordsimon01@gmail.com. This has been a program of Inside Finance. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for being with me today. Join me here next week at the same time when we do this all over again.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.